when you started using Amazon as a platform, there were some issues with copycatting.
It's sometimes really easy just to copy it. Sometimes it could be happening from a manufacturer. It's really hard to tell where it's coming from. But Amazon has been a great partner in making sure that those products were taken down.
Hi, I'm Crystal Brown, your host. Do you love finding new and awesome pickleball hats and accessories? Well, you're in luck, because today we catch up with Tamara Arabelli, the founder of Superfly Goods, a super stylish brand of pickleball accessories and a top seller on Amazon. Learn how a small idea has turned into a leading brand in the pickleball world. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of our episodes. Okay, now to the show. Welcome to Simply Pickleball, the podcast where we discuss all things pickleball, the fastest growing sport in America and around the world. We are interviewing the founders, industry leaders, athletes, lovers of the sport that are driving the spectacular growth. If you love pickleball as much as we do, listen in. Okay, well, thank you so much, Tamara, for joining today. I'm really excited to talk to you about Superfly Goods. It's a brand that I discovered actually on social media because I love pickleball and because I love all the new accessories. But I'm really excited to dive in. I also have a love of entrepreneurship. So maybe we could start there, which is, what's your sort of background, and you can share how it eventually led to Superfly.
Yeah. Well, first off, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you for discovering us on social media. That's definitely something that we set out to do, and very useful platform to put our brand out there. An overview of really what we're doing and kind of the backstory on how we got started and what some of our goals are. We, like many people in the spring of 2020, we found ourselves in this whirlwind of stir craziness and a pandemic happening. And so we ended up moving up to the mountains with our family. I have two girls, 15 and 12, and my husband and I, and we had a lot of downtime. And so we found pickleball. We were in a small community in the mountains, and we fell in love with it. And it was really our family's escape from what was happening and gave us something to do aside from working from home. And my background is actually in art and design, and I really wanted to kind of put my two worlds together, which were my family, the love for this new sport, and then my art and design background. My professional job outside of that is not as creative. It's more business creative, not as art creative. So I definitely put those two worlds together and founded Superfly Goods. We started with just one product, a hat, and it was something fun that we brought to the pickleball courts in the mountains and had a really great time with. And people seemed to really love the product. And from there, it evolved into a full catalog of offerings, from hats to visors, socks, wristbands, and paddles that we just launched recently.
I was going to say, so before you jump into all the products, because they are amazing, and definitely the hats were one piece that I noticed, so I'm not surprised it was your first. But loving pickleball is one thing, and bringing your family together, it's awesome. It's a great sport. And even creating some local paraphernalia for people to wear. I think you mentioned that you started out by just giving out the products, right?
Yeah. So initially we did a run of products that we just gifted to the community. We wanted to gauge interest to see if people were into the designs, just to get some feedback. So really every product that we've launched has initially started with like a roundup of products that have just been complimentary, gifted out to the community. I'm based here in Colorado. We have a very enthusiastic community, and it was really great to get that feedback from everyone prior to moving forward with products and launching them. And then I think we also did this culmination of like product that spanned multi-generations. So we wanted to bring some of that like old school Colorado flair, that off-road ski environment, into the products. And we really took some inspiration from that 70s vibe and all things Colorado.
Which is totally hip, I know, because I have daughters too. But again, you could give out products and just have fun with it. And you could use your art background and your design background and have fun. But you've actually launched quite a big brand, and bringing it to Amazon as a platform is not something that everyone can do well. And so that's one of the things I really want to dig into too with your products, is how did you make the decision to, I mean, you could even put up a website and sell out of your garage, but that's not what you're doing. You've created a brand. And how did you sort of decide when you, what was that moment when you were like, okay, I'm not going to just give out hats. I'm going to actually start a brand that people will know.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I knew that with everything, the family, my full-time job, that I needed to be really mindful of my time. So I really wanted to create something that could gain maximum exposure without the output of, you know, endless hours of shipping and packing. So I did some research. I did create a website initially, and I thought that would be a great platform to utilize. But with knowing that I had the constraints and didn't have the time to do all the shipping and handling myself, I looked to Amazon and I did a lot of research. It's absolutely a beast. And so it's very consumer centric, not as seller centric. And I definitely knew that they had a very captive audience and the consumers were there. The pickleball as a product was starting to really amp up. It was gaining some recognition. So within that catalog on Amazon that I launched, I did that in a similar fashion. I started with one SKU. I wanted to see how that one SKU went. And slowly but surely, I started adding to the catalog as I saw that SKU was gaining momentum. And then I just started offering things that either I found a niche for, things that I wanted in my own pickleball lineup, things that people recommended to me that I played with. So I definitely started slow and really learned Amazon step by step and that whole process step by step versus just offering an entire catalog right off the bat.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the entrepreneur path, right? Like, or at least what often a lot of books are written about, which is like start lean, start with a product, figure out, and then grow from there. Did you, in the beginning, maybe stepping back a second, did you feel like there was a hole in the market for certain types of products with respect to pickleball? Because, you know, there are a lot of new brands. And if you could just buy the hat that you made, maybe you would have. But did you feel like there's something missing for pickleball players or enthusiasts?
Yeah, I think when I started in 2020, there was definitely a gap in the market. There were products out there that had like cute, kitschy sayings on them. And there were definitely products being sold, not at the rate that they are currently. But I definitely found that there was a hole in the market for something that was, quite honestly, something I would wear, something that appealed to me, something that appealed to varying generations, not just a cute saying or something that kind of was a play or pun on pickleball, something right. A little more serious, a little more timeless, and a little more fashion forward.
That's awesome. So jumping back into your sales, so you started with hats. How did you decide what other products you wanted to sell? Or again, like what were the gaps in the market that you kept seeing?
I definitely knew that I had like a few things in mind. I didn't want to do anything that required sizes because to me, that just seemed a little bit daunting and a lot unknown. I also wanted to make sure that products I was creating were things that were easy to ship, to manufacture, and like just getting started in the market. It was something that was like would be accessible to all. So when I started expanding the offerings, as you know, I started with hats, then moved into visors. And then shortly thereafter, the socks followed. Drinkware also followed shortly after. And then going into wristbands. And then once those products were pretty established, I started expanding different colorways, things of that nature. And then the line grew from there.
Yeah, I think that, again, another sort of entrepreneurial spirit that you, I don't know if you've read lots of books on it, but you clearly know what you're doing because, you know, not doing sizes, if that feels daunting, is really smart because then, you know, you don't have to, if that's not your background or something like that. I've talked to some brands that have another episode with Rally Club. I hope everyone will subscribe so they can listen to all our episodes with amazing entrepreneurs and also pickleball people. But I think if that world feels daunting, but what you're doing doesn't, then you're going in the right direction because it's like a world you know. You had mentioned to me when we spoke for the first time that when you started using Amazon as a platform, there were some issues with copycatting. So what happened? How did you figure that out?
Yeah. So it's actually funny that you say that it wasn't a one-off, like it's something that's still ongoing. And something that I've found on Amazon is really staying on top of your catalog and on staying on top of search terms and really looking into what other people are doing on the platform. When I first got started and my wine tumbler really started taking off, I all of a sudden saw the exact product on Amazon sold by an unknown seller. So going through the Amazon process and making sure that you're protected on your end, so your brand is registered, your logo is trademarked, any marks that you're using are trademarked, and really making sure that you have all of that in place was really beneficial because as soon as I found those products, I was able to bring it up to brand registry and have those products removed. but it is also ongoing. And I think people, there's Amazon plugins, you can see how well products are doing. You can gauge, the sell out of those, of the inventory of those units. And so I think when people see something great on Amazon, it's sometimes really easy just to copy it. Sometimes it could be happening from a manufacturer. It's really hard to tell where it's coming from. But Amazon has been a great partner in making sure that those products were taken down and removed.
So speaking of manufacturing, where did you get started manufacturing with your first product? And how did you even know how to do that? I mean, if it's not specifically your background, how did you know how to make a hat?
Yeah, I think it kind of goes back to like, really what you're saying and talking about this entrepreneurial spirit. I think something that I always bring to anything that I do is some hustle and some grit. And so I think that really just diving into things and figuring out how to make them work. The first product I ever had manufactured was at a local shop in the mountains called Ski Town All Stars. I knew they had hats, blank hats. And I was like, this is exactly what I want to do. And I went to them, negotiated pricing, and they were able to make the hats for me. So I think that really just having that hustle, that grit, and the drive to keep moving forward was really what got that first product into my hands. And from there, everything pretty much evolved. So then I was like, I can no longer just work with this really small retail store in the mountains. I need to think outside of that. And so I found a manufacturer here in the US for hats, for the visors, and then went overseas for some additional products as well.
How did you know how to go overseas? Because that's another sort of gray area for a lot of people. And I know that's where a lot of the paddles are coming from. But, did you have any experience in working with manufacturers outside of the US? And how did you pick which one and make sure you got the product the way you wanted it?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a leap of faith. I did not have any experience. And I think also during the pandemic, like things were a little bit funky with shipping and ship times and importing. So that was also a sticking point. I think that the fact that I started here in the US and actually even hyper local in the mountain community that I was living in made it easier. But I think that the shipping and just the unknown piece was definitely a leap of faith. I requested many, many samples from different manufacturers. I wanted to test quality. I wanted to see product. And these would just be like blank apparel samples or other products that they had made in the past. I wanted people to wear them, test them, feel them, see them. And all of a sudden, probably thousands of emails back and forth later and a lot of translation. I landed on my first manufacturer for knitwear and a manufacturer for drinkware. And since then, have continued the relationship with them. I haven't strayed at all. I've been using the same manufacturers that I started with. And I think it's just building those relationships moving forward and knowing that these are trusted partners and trusted, the products arrive when they say they're going to arrive. The quality is the same quality every time. I don't see returns, from customers complaining about any kind of issues, whether it's manufacturing issues or embroidery issues and nothing. There aren't broken pieces. So I think that that's kind of gauging why those relationships are still staying intact. But really just putting myself out there and trying it. Like, I wouldn't say that there's a recipe for it. It's just taking that leap of faith and going for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I'm curious about, so I see the growth of pickleball in all directions, right? There's more players, it's on TV now, there's more pros, there's more tournaments. When you started this, did you think, like, what did you see the trajectory? Were you starting to see your stuff flying off the proverbial shelves? Or were you like, you felt maybe you were doing a better job getting to that smaller market? I mean, or can you feel that the market was just exploding? I'm curious what your sort of metrics were. How did you figure that out?
Yeah, I'd say when I first started, I feel like my product line kind of grew at the same rate as pickleball. I think that when I first started, it was quiet. There wasn't a lot of competition. People weren't like, there wasn't any PPC, pay-per-click advertising spend really on Amazon. It was really affordable to advertise. There weren't many products that you were looking at as competitors. And I think that as my product line grew, I also saw that growth on Amazon. I definitely, what you're saying, I mean, the amount of players has grown. As soon as we came back from the mountains, we started playing here in Denver at a local city park and met so many new players. And that community really grew. That community became really tight. And so as that pickleball community has grown, I think that my products and my line has kind of grown along that same trajectory. Definitely always room for additional growth. And I always say to anyone who's getting ready to like launch something or do something or take a leap of faith and make something happen, that there's room for everything in the marketplace. And there's always room for creative new perspective. And so I really like honor that and think that that's a great way to.
So you guys play pretty regularly as a family still?
We do. My husband and I play pretty regularly. I'd say I probably play the most of all of us. My kids, not so much. I have a daughter who's a pretty competitive soccer player and then one who's really into the arts.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's people who can play as much as they can either get courts or find time. But, you know, again, like now you're running a business in the pickleball space and there are, like you said, a lot of new businesses. Where do you think that it's going next? I mean, do you feel like it's just having its moment or can you still see signs that, you know, it's expanding? Because we only have the perspective either in our area or again, like based on the businesses that you run, you can see like, oh no, this is continuing to have a complete uptick. And I'm curious what your, it's really just your opinion, but it's also based on metrics that you have in front of you.
That's really a great question. I think that pickleball as a whole is really still in its infancy. I think that there's only room for growth and expansion. I think that we see that with like all the different, like the Major League Pickleball and the PPA and everything kind of working itself out. I think we see that with paddles and at events and testing and what's happening behind the scenes. But I definitely think there is room for a lot of growth with brands. I think that there's so many more people to turn onto the sport. And I think that it's only going to continue to grow from here.
Are you already shipping internationally quite a bit? Are you seeing like, you know, I know on Amazon, you can sell into like Amazon Canada pretty easily, Amazon UK. Are you already shipping internationally with your products?
Yeah. So I'm set up on Amazon to sell in 12 different markets. So the US market, Mexico, Canada, and then some European markets as well. I think that it's really easy to do that with Amazon. Yeah. I definitely get feedback from people and I've gotten messaged DMs from many people on social media asking me to connect to them in various countries throughout the world because they're looking to bring pickleball or more apparel to their communities, whether it's different events or leagues that they're hosting or tournaments that are happening. I'm looking for support in that way and looking for some presence. I don't really know what's happening as much outside of the United States. But I definitely feel like there's definitely room for growth.
Yeah. Speaking of that, so have you chosen to maybe sponsor tournaments or sponsor, you know, players? Like, and I want to get into your paddles too, but even outside of paddles for a minute, is there anything you're doing to amplify your brand with players specifically or teams? What have you thought about in that kind of marketing channel?
So I think that, you know, in terms of sponsorship, I've definitely dug in and found some local things to do, some things nationally as well. I have players at events all the time that are wearing my gear. So I have someone that's going out to nationals this weekend in Dallas. She took a bunch of my product. Her and her partner are decked and ready to play this weekend in my products. They also have extra product that they'll gift to people. I try to have as much presence at those kind of events as possible.
I'm curious about that, like ROI, like how you know, like Fila is on Annalie Waters. Like, you know, do you imagine Superfly Goods being on, you know, a sweatband or socks or something on a player that's really well known?
I mean, I would love for that to happen. When I started the brand, I was really trying to engage the mainstream players, not the professional players. And I really wanted to be readily available to people that were participants in the sport. So, you know, any kind of older, younger players, all different socioeconomic backgrounds, anyone that, you know, any type of player. So I really didn't create the brand to just focus on getting my products onto professional players. I really wanted it to be as diverse as possible. And I think when I think to like those PPA events or whatever, like I really don't know that I necessarily see the brand as like a major sponsor of one of those events, but I definitely feel like it's an accessible product, you know, for me to have available for people who also play in those events, maybe not just the pros.
Yeah. I mean, I think the reason to sponsor a pro in your case or in the case of Fila is really just to show your brand in a bigger platform. And then everybody does want to wear Air Jordans, whether they play basketball or not. And everyone wants to, you know, have the right paddle or something. So let's get into paddles for a second. You had mentioned that you had some criteria for your brand. You didn't want sizes and you wanted something that, you know, which I think is great to not go in. But paddles is a whole nother beast. So I'm curious when you decided to start to go into paddles and what's been your process for figuring out what you wanted to bring to the market.
Yeah, so it's definitely a whole nother beast. It's something that I wanted to be able to offer so that I had like a full gamut of all accessories. So someone could put together a gift set from my offering of assortment of items and they could get it out to, you know, at affordable prices to friends, to family, definitely a beginner to intermediate level paddle. When I first started looking into paddles, it was probably, I'd say 2 years ago. And some of the criteria were I wanted something that was like an elevated panel paddle from the first one I purchased personally on Amazon, something that was a little more luxury, something that was, you know, honeycomb core, fiberglass exterior, had a nice grip on it, was also lightweight. So I reached out to a few manufacturers. And again, I went through that same process of having them send me many paddles to test. And I work here in Colorado with a local pro and had him try all of the paddles. I was like, play with these, try these, tell me which one of these you think really works well, which one hits well, which one feels solid, which one gives you like a great experience. And so we narrowed it down to one paddle, and that's the paddle that I went ahead and moved forward with. It's definitely not the first paddle I bought on Amazon. And it's definitely a level up from there. And I'm really happy with the way they turned out. I think it's a really fun product. And I, especially getting into the holidays, I'm starting to see a lot of paddle traffic. I'm also seeing a lot of paddle competition. So I feel like now there's a lot of different paddle companies on the market and some coming directly just from China.
Hey, pickleballers, Crystal Brown here from Simply Pickleball, the ultimate channel for everything pickleball. If you're passionate about the fastest growing sport in America, you're in the right place. We have been fortunate enough to sit down with some incredible personalities in the pickleball world, from pro players sharing their climb to winning gold, to the founders and industry leaders shaping the game. We're bringing you the inside scoop about what makes pickleball the incredible phenomenon it is today. But here's the thing, we need your support to keep the pickleball party going strong. Subscribing to our channel not only helps keep you in the loop with the latest news, tips, and highlights, but it also helps us to continue to produce amazing content just for you. Our community is made up of pickleball enthusiasts just like you, players of all types, skill levels, and ages. Or maybe you just love to watch the game. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, we've got something for everyone. So, how can you join the pickleball party and support Simply Pickleball? It's as easy as hitting that subscribe button. Don't forget to turn on your notifications so you never miss out on the action. By subscribing, you're not only becoming part of our community, you're helping us grow and bring you even more exciting content, interviews, and stories from the heart of the pickleball world. Thank you so much for being part of Simply Pickleball, where the love of pickleball has no boundaries. Subscribe now, hit the subscribe button, and let's keep the pickleball passion alive together.
But you know, the interesting thing about paddles is that you, different than maybe tennis or even golf, you really probably have to get more than one a year if you play a lot, and maybe even two or three a year if you play a lot. Or you could have the same one for 6 years if you don't play a lot or you're not super competitive. So, you know, again, you could, in golf, you could have a driver for 20 years or I don't even know, you know, but I think that's not the same. Same with balls, right? Like people need to continually buy new products for pickleball. And I think that's okay. Like the expectation is as you continue to play. So either you buy the same paddle over and over, but at some point it's going to deteriorate. I think even though there's a lot of paddle brands out there, you still have a huge opportunity with new players, but also with the same players loving their paddle. And I think about branding because, you know, I brought up Air Jordans, but even like at yoga studios where people like to have the right yoga outfit or the right yoga mat, or I think on the pickleball court, I'm curious what you thought the opportunity was there for sort of looking cute and dressing cute. Like, again, like what made you think people were going to care about having like a cool looking paddle or a cool looking, you know, water bottle? And was there any indication that like there was a sort of something missing there?
Yeah. So I definitely always ask myself the same question when I'm putting a new product out there, like, is this my brand? it's not just filling a hole with something that's cool or with that's different. It definitely has to like ring true to the brand and also stay on brand with what my vision and the mission and the look and feel of it is. That's probably just a part of my background, a little bit of like just that framework of like, is this my brand? And so when I did the paddles, and you're absolutely correct, it's a sport that you're constantly changing out gear. Technology's always changing. A lot of people want to upgrade the technology that they have. I wanted to really create something that was a really nice, easy entry level product for people that was affordable, that you could get into the sport, and that was also fun and also was a part of my brand. That it was a cohesive collection. So I definitely knew there was a niche for that. I mean, most of the paddles that I see on the court are pretty just black, solid, not really that fun and funky. So I definitely wanted to put out a product that was fun, on brand, had a little bit of flair to it, and was different. Yeah,
I remember a friend of mine pulled out a paddle that someone had gifted her that had a beautiful like floral pattern, which would not appeal to a lot of people, but it was, she just was so excited, and she unzipped her. She was just like so excited to play with it, and it made her feel good. And I think we get kind of caught up with, I think there's some of us, maybe I'll just say me, who watches a lot of pickleball online, and I'm looking at all the pros. And so then you see that paddle, that look of the black and the sort of black diamond, and makes you think of black diamond skiing, like the super hot. But actually, because the sport is so much broader than that, there's mm-hmm. such an opportunity to bring fun and, you know, playfulness to the paddle. Like it's kind of, there's very few things you can go to the court with that make you feel kind of unique or special or, you know. So speaking of that, so you've just launched your paddles. They're already for sale?
Correct. They're available now.
Great. So we'll put links in all the show notes with all the products and places people can buy them and things like that, and some new ones. What else, right? So what comes next? You've launched with a great line already. You could stop here and just keep iterating or maybe have a little more free time. But again, you don't. You seem to keep so do you have more ideas of products that you're planning to bring to market, things you can share with us?
Yeah, I'm definitely expanding colorways this holiday season. I just launched some stuff in pinks and purples, which was really fun and definitely starting to take off as well. So that's the newest addition that just happened last week. I am going to be launching some new paddle cases, little dop kits, some little bags, like some paddle holders, in addition to what I'm currently offering. So those are some things that I have set out for 2024. Definitely not getting into the apparel world. That's, you know, I'm going to stay in my lane for now. But I think, you know, paddles, accessories is where I'm going to focus, and then offering more colorways. Yeah, there's really only room for growth and expansion. So I'm going to keep going with what's working right now.
And so you mentioned you are available in international, but are you seeing sales internationally? Are you seeing growth with, you know, orders coming from all over the world, or is it still sort of mainly US ordering?
I'd say it's probably about 90% US ordering, and the other 10% is scattered internationally. Part of it is the international ease of using Amazon. It's still delayed shipping times. Nothing's warehoused there currently. So it's not that quick 2-day get your products. But I think there's only room for expansion and growth. When I first started on Amazon, it was only US and I was only selling in the US. So I'm really only seeing that growth because I've now expanded into other marketplaces. But really, I think that, you know, there's really only room to grow in that regard as well.
What about you? We talked a little about gifting, and we put together a blog on our website about, you know, some holiday gifts, included some of your products. Again, check out simplypickleball.com for that. But you're interestingly, I think, and you're very savvy. This is a space you really understand, that you knew that your products would be really good gifts. And I'm curious, is that ringing true? Are people really buying them as gifts? And how do you know that? How do you know they're giving them away as gifts? I'm just curious what the signs are.
Yeah, so great question. And I definitely thank you for bringing that up. And we talked about that when we spoke on the phone. I guess one of the truest tell-alls of that is when I look at the reviews on my products. And it will either be, I gave this to someone as a gift and they loved it, or I received this as a gift and I love it. And I'd say that's probably the most common feedback that I get from most people when they leave their feedback on the products themselves. And I see that there's a lot of gifting happening with the products. In addition to that, they're at a really comfortable price point that's in that gifting range. So I think really accessible for people. But I absolutely love the feedback and the comments that people leave when they either received a product as a gift or gave a product as a gift and speak to the reaction. Or, you know, I feel like I'm such a better pickleball player now that I'm wearing these wristbands that I got as a gift. Or sometimes people are pretty crafty with their comments and reviews, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's funny. I wristbands seemed like something so 70s, you know, and then I've seen a lot of people using them because actually they're very practical. You get sweaty and they make a lot of sense. You know, you kind of need them.
You get sweaty, your sunscreen's dipping into your eyes. You need something to wipe it off with. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So if you could sort of imagine your brand next, you know, it could, again, it's not in your garage anymore. It's a real brand. People know about it. It's growing in terms of notoriety on social media, in terms of ranking on Amazon, which I like, kudos to you for figuring that out. But where do you want it to go? I mean, it could be a full-time job. This could be an enormous brand with headquarters, but it's all depending on what your vision is. And I'm curious if you and your family have discussed what the vision is for you.
I think this next year, I'm really looking to solidify a few new things in the catalog. But some other things I'd really like to do is do some collaboration and partnership with people that are also in the space. So whether it's an apparel line, I'd love to work on some collabs. Whether it's a professional player or an amateur player, do a collaboration or some small capsules with them that are unique to that person. I'd like to really hone in on, you know, getting intentional about, you know, creating products that not just have my story, but also have other people's stories as well. There's also an organization here in Colorado that I've been in talks with about putting together some collaborative items and really engaging our community here and spanning and reaching all community, regardless of, you know, adaptability and socioeconomic background, and really bringing pickleball to communities. So I think those are some things this next year that I'm really focusing on and some of the goals that I have for the brand.
Can you explain what that would look like if you were trying to, like, how would you and your brand be bringing it to more communities? Like, how do you collaborate? Because maybe there's people out there that would love to do that with you, but they're not exactly sure what that looks like.
Yeah, I think that some of the things that we're in talks about doing is really all you need for pickleball is a paddle, a ball, and a net that you can transport really anywhere. There's so much unused outdoor space, whether it's a basketball court or tennis courts that aren't being used. So some things that we're talking about right now is bringing pickleball to some communities throughout Denver, outdoors, and doing some pop-up pickleball events, and including the entire community as an unpaid event to attend. And, you know, having music and art and food and other things become a part of it, but something that's really a community focused event to attract everyone so that there isn't any barrier to entry and for people to experience the sport without that.
So let's just dig into that for a minute. You can sort of take off your entrepreneur hat for a second, but just as like a person who loves the sport, there's a lot of other sports out there. You play a lot of sports. You know, ski and you're athletic and you have a lot of other things you could do. What do you think it is? It really is just your opinion. Why is pickleball the thing that you want, that you think will help communities, right? There are other sports or activities, you know, could be everything from mahjong to basketball. But what do you think it's about the pickleball? You know, I'm just curious what your opinion is about the sort of secret sauce there.
I think that, like, back to what I just said, there's definitely a very low barrier to entry. It doesn't really cost a lot to get involved in the sport. So there's that. I think that the community as a whole is really warm and welcoming. I mean, I can't really speak to communities outside of Denver, but actually I can. I went to Santa Barbara with a girlfriend last winter and we rolled up at a public court and we put our paddles down and we started playing with people. I mean, I feel like there's always some kind of community engagement and people to play with. I think that it's just a really, it's in such growth phase that you don't really need to bring other people with you. You can show up by yourself. You can put your paddle in. You can go whenever you want to go. And there's always kind of this free flow of open play happening. So it isn't anything that has to be scheduled or coordinated. It really can be on your own time, which I think really lends itself to the flexibility of being able to fit into your life and to accommodate anyone from anywhere. So there's that beautiful ease of it. You mentioned skiing. I mean, skiing is not extremely affordable. It's definitely an effort to get there. It has to be good conditions, the mountains open, you need all the gear to make it happen. And it's not that social. You're skiing, you're by yourself, you get out, you're on the chairlift, you can talk to people, but it isn't really community building for me. But yeah. I think that with pickleball, there's a nice flow of interaction where you showed up and you don't know anyone and you have no choice but to meet other people because you will be playing with someone else. It's a nice way to meet people.
Yeah, I think about that a lot because I feel like, everyone has their perspective where they live. So I live in San Francisco and there's a lot of work from home. And at the end of the day, you could go to a bar and maybe like meet up with someone, but that's not a healthy activity per se. But going to the pickleball court, you know, people come out. And I'm interested. I was a swimmer growing up and that's similar to skiing. It's not an easy sport to get into unless you have access to a swimming pool. You have to be swim safety. And I always thought that it doesn't really cross a lot of socioeconomic borders because of that, not to mention weather issues. I mean, forget, socioeconomic, you either have the indoor pool or, and I feel like with pickleball, it'll be interesting to see what happens with youth and, upward trends of youth. And so I think your idea of getting involved in the community, of course it will help your brand and your business, but it's also a nice piece of your business because there are lots of businesses that are socially mission-based as well as also being a profitable business. They're able to give back. So kudos to you for that.
Yeah.
Is there anything else in, like I said, bigger picture vision that you hope to see or bring? I know what you're doing in 2024 or anything else that you want to share with the listeners about what you hope this brand turns into?
I guess I always just come from a place of gratitude. I'm so thankful for all the support that I've already received. I love connecting with people like you. It feels so good when I'm, a friend of mine recently was in, where was she? She was in Phoenix and she was at a restaurant and someone was sitting next to her at a table wearing one of my hats. And she was like, oh my gosh, that's my friend's business. And took a photo and sent it to me. I think all of those little things like just feel really good that people love the brand, that people really are complimentary of the products, the quality. I think that, I just really want to stay true to what I'm doing and put out really good products, really good quality. And I just love knowing that people are still enjoying them. I think I try not to get way too far in the future because my head spins and I just can't go there. So I'm trying to keep, baby steps. So I have a 2024 plan right now. Last year, I set some goals for myself for 2023, and I feel like I'm really doing a good job accomplishing those goals. And, micro goal setting, and I'm definitely a big fan of that. But I'm not going to look too far past that because I just don't really quite know the evolution of my brand, where I'm going to be. I'll have a daughter who's a junior in high school next year. I don't want to think about that.
So. Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I think you really are kind of the perfect entrepreneur story. And I know that's a little departure from pickleball, but I think that's why I started this podcast is that I was finding a lot of entrepreneurs and pickleball combining. And the fact that you have a family and that you have a job and you have a business and you want to play pickleball. So you have a lot of demands on your time, but, sort of pulling back, I think you do have a very unique brand and I hope you will continue to put together great products because it may feel like second nature to you, but not everybody can design cool things that end up looking cool. It's just the truth. We are not all gifted that way. And I might design a hat that no one would wear and you don't. You design hats and products that everybody wants. So it's exciting. Like I said, I'll definitely link to everything. I hope that this holiday season you get a ton of orders. And I hope you'll come back, in the future and let us know what the next things are for you and what your next goals are. And you continue to have time and space to design awesome products.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I truly appreciate it. And I always like to use myself as a resource as well. So I'm always more than happy to speak to anyone who's looking to launch a brand, who has any questions, who wants to dive into Amazon or get any background knowledge. Nothing secret or guarded. So if anyone ever wanted to reach out to me, I'm very open to that. In addition to that, I truly appreciate your time. And I'm also looking forward to a really lucrative holiday season and to see what 2024 brings.
Yeah, so everyone will have to subscribe again and check out our website as well. We have links to all the products we love. And Tamara, I just really appreciate your time. So good luck to you. And hopefully we'll check in again and see what amazing things you're bringing next year.
Thank you, Crystal. I really appreciate you. Take care.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Simply Pickleball. We will be back very soon with great interviews, discussions, and more all about pickleball. Don't forget to subscribe to our channels on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, or any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Until next time, happy dinking.